Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, verse number 21. I'm sorry, verse number 22. Sa eva bhuya nija virya choditam. Swajiva mayam pakritim shishriksatam. Ananama rupa rupatmani rupa namani. Vidit samano nusasara sastrakrit. Vidit samano nusasara sastrakrit. The personality of Godhead, again, desiring to give names and forms to his parts and parcels, the living entities, placed them under the guidance of material nature. By his own potency, material nature is empowered to recreate. Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The living entities are parts and parcels of the Lord. They are of two varieties, namely Nitya-mukta and Nitya-bada. The Nitya-muktas are eternally liberated souls, and they are eternally engaged in the reciprocation of transcendental loving service with the Lord in his eternal abode, beyond the manifested mundane creations. But the Nitya-bada, or eternally conditioned souls, are entrusted to his external energy, Maya, for rectification of their rebellious attitude toward the Supreme Father. Nityabhadas are eternally forgetful of their relation with the Lord as parts and parcels. They are bewildered by the illusory energy as products of matter. And thus, they are very busy in making plans in the material world for becoming happy. They go on merrily with plans, but by the will of the Lord, both the plan makers and the plans are annihilated at the end of a certain period, as above mentioned. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita as follows. O son of Kunti, at the end of the millennium, all the living entities merge into my nature, and again, when the time of creation is ripe, I begin creation by the agency of my external energy. Bhagavad Gita 9:7. The word bhuya indicates again and again. This is to say, the process of creation, maintenance, and annihilation is going on perpetually by the external energy of the Lord. He is the cause of everything. But the living beings who are constitutionally the parts and parcels of the Lord and are forgetful of the sweet relation are given a chance again to get rid of the clutches of the external energy and to revive his, meaning the living and the living beings, consciousness. The revealed scriptures are also created by the Lord. Vedic literatures are the guiding directions for the conditioned souls so they can get free from the repetition of creation and annihilation of the material world and the material body. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, this created world and material energy are under my control. Under the influence of Prakriti, automatically they are created again and again, and this is done by me through the agency of my external energy. Actually, the spiritual spark, living entities, have no material names or forms. But in order to fulfill their desire to lord it over the material energy of material forms and names, they are given a chance for such false enjoyment, and at the same time they are given a chance to understand the real position through revealed scriptures. The foolish and forgetful living being is always busy with false forms and false names. Modern nationalism is the culmination of such false names and forms. Men are mad after false name and form. The form of body obtained under certain conditions is taken up as factual, and the name also taken bewilders the conditioned soul into misusing the energy in the name of so many isms. The scriptures, however, supply the clue for understanding the real position. But men are reluctant to take lessons from the scriptures created by the Lord for different places and times. For example, the Bhagavad Gita is the guiding principle for all human beings, but by the spell of material energy, they do not take care to carry out the programs of life in terms of the Bhagavad Gita. Srimad Bhagavatam is the postgraduate study of knowledge for one who has thoroughly understood the principles of the Bhagavad Gita. Unfortunately, people have no taste for them, and therefore they are under the clutches of Maya for repetition of birth and death. Gaura Premanandi, Haribo, Haribo, Haribo. Thank you. So there's a lot of really wonderful points here, and we might spend 2 days on this purport. One point here, and right in the verse, is that Krishna is a real creator, and creators or creative people in the material world are no match for him. Let's say there's an expert Swiss watchmaker. People think that Swiss watches are the best in the world, much better than the junk watches that come from China. Right? They just basically imitate. Like you can get a Rolex in China for $30. It looks exactly like a Rolex, right? And you know, people buy these, you know, and they show them all the time. You know, it's a hello, how you doing, huh? You know. But if you open up the Rolex watch, you'll see it's just a junk mechanism on the inside. It's nothing like the real Rolex. Although on the outside it looks like it, you know, even that is junk. But at first view, some people think it's a real Rolex. Right? $30, a real Rolex, you know, especially one that's gold and really shiny, you know, it can cost at least $25,000 to $30,000. That's how expensive it is. Right? You can get a cheaper one, you know, like a silver one. You used to be able to get one like $7,000 to $8,000, right? Now, they're selling Rolex for $35 in Hong Kong, right? So you see, there's so much cheating going on. But the difference is this. When Krishna creates something, by his own potency, material nature is empowered to recreate. But the Swiss watchmaker, no matter how expert they are, they can't make a watch that can recreate itself. You see, that's the difference between Krishna, the real creator, and all the phony creators in the material world. And, you know, they give all these phony names like Rolex and Patek, and all these different names they give to these expensive watches. So this is the world of names and forms, but actually there's not much meaning to those names and forms because they're only things that are temporary. So therefore, in spiritual life, the spiritualists are concerned with what is called sat, and the materialists are interested in what is called asat. Sat means what is eternal. So spiritual people don't want to waste their time with things that are temporary because they're going to come and go. They're more concerned about being concerned with things that are eternal. This is something you learn by reading Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And by studying mundane knowledge, you don't learn this at all. People are chasing after temporary things in the material world. Therefore, it says, Nasato vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate sata ubayor apinitrishto natas twaneos tatvadarsa bihi. So this is the second chapter. And it says that those who are wise are concerned with things that are eternal. Those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent, the material body, there is no duration. And of the eternal, the soul, there's no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. So, Prabhupada explains, there's no endurance of the changing body, that the body is changing every moment by the actions and reactions of the different cells is admitted by modern medical science, and thus growth and old age are taking place in the body. So in fact, one changes all the cells of the body every 7 years. And it's going on continually. And you see how people grow, and then they start, and they maintain sometime, then they start to dwindle. And all the time, the body is changing. It's like someone was telling me yesterday, you know, I woke up the other day, I had this terrible pain in my leg. I don't know how I got it. I don't remember having any, let's say, trauma or someone hitting me or my hitting my leg. I don't know. And then I got this other pain in my arm, and I can't lift it beyond this point. I don't know what, you know, I went to the doctor, and they said, we don't understand either. Well, that's the body, you see. There's always something going wrong with the body. Our disease is this body. You see, if you didn't have this body, then you wouldn't have any diseases. You wouldn't get coronavirus. But as long as you have a material body, it's subject to the laws of material nature. And many of those laws are very subtle. So, but the spirit soul exists permanently, remaining the same despite all changes of the body and the mind. That is the difference between matter and spirit. By nature, the body is ever-changing and the soul is eternal. This conclusion is established by all classes of seers of the truth, both impersonalist and personalist. In the Vishnu Purana 2.12.38, it is stated that Vishnu and his abodes all have self-illuminated spiritual existence. Jyotimsi Vishnu Bhuvanani Vishnu. The words existent and not existent refer only to spirit and matter. That is the version of all seers of the truth. So, therefore, by reading Bhagavad Gita and understanding it properly, a person begins to lose interest in temporary things and builds up a tremendous interest in what is eternal. So just like you can buy an imitation Rolex watch for $35. That seems like a real deal. And it looks like the real thing if you look from a distance. But if you look really close, you'll see it's just a cheap Chinese junk imitation. So why be fooled by the imitation? Why not go for the real thing? And by the way, when you have a real Rolex, like for example, I had a fire once and my whole house burned down. And I did have a Rolex watch that was gifted to me by Bhakti Chiru Maharaj. And when I wrote down that my Rolex burned, right, they paid for it. And, you know, and they didn't see it in the rubble. And it did burn. It did burn. So, and they paid for it. They paid the full price for it. So, even though I didn't pay anything for it because it was gifted to me. But, see, this is, that means when you have something of value, it always retains its value. Right? Okay, so now another point, another big point is, it says, Vedic literatures are the guiding directions for the conditioned souls so they can get free from the repetition of creation and annihilation of the material world and the material body. Now you see, this is the whole point of studying Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Most people think that liberation from birth and death is not possible. In fact, yeah, most people, almost everybody doesn't think that it's possible. There's a few crazy nut jobs that say, oh, well, you know, it's possible. We'll freeze you in nitrogen. And when we figure out how to cure your disease, we'll bring you back to life and save you. And that's a bunch of nonsense. And it's expensive. And only really stupid people do it, you know. And you can go see them if you want. They have these nitrogen tanks and it has a window in it, and you can see the face of the dead guy. Well, they don't say he's dead, otherwise they would lose all the money. It costs $150,000 to $200,000 a year to keep that dead guy frozen. You see. If you want to be frozen, you just go to Siberia and just lay down, you know, and winter will come and you'll be frozen stiff, you know, for about, you know, 20,000 years. But there's no guarantee that when you're unfrozen, you'll wake up. They find all these animals that are frozen and they're intact in Siberia. And when they thaw them, none of them are alive, right? So why would a man who's frozen come back alive? You know, the whole thing is nonsense. They've never done it, by the way, because they never find a cure for the disease. That's why. So, you know, there's so much cheating, and it's all based on names and forms. So it's called cryonics. Of course, when you pay the bill, you cry. That's why I call it cryonics. You know? So this idea that one can become free from the repetition of creation and annihilation of the material world and the material body, this is the whole point of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, yeah, he says, eighth chapter. Okay, eighth chapter, seventh verse. He says, "Tasmat sarve subhutesu mam anusmara yudhicha maya arpitamano bidhir mam ivaisasya samsaya." So he says, at all times, therefore, at all times, Arjuna, think of me and do your duty. With your mind and intelligence fixed on me, surely you will come back to me. So, Prabhupada writes, "This instruction to Arjuna is very important for all men engaged in material activities. The Lord does not say that one should give up his prescribed duties or engagements. One can continue them and at the same time think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. This will free one from the material contamination and engage the mind and intelligence in Krishna. By chanting Krishna's names, one will be transferred to the supreme planet, Krishna Loka, without a doubt." That means you become free of the cycle of birth and death, of the cycle of creation, maintenance, and destruction. Then it says, "Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamina paramam purusham divyam yatipartana chintayan." He says, "He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in me, in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me." Again, he's saying, you'll come back to the spiritual world. And Prabhupada says, in this verse, Lord Krishna stresses the importance of remembering him. One's memory of Krishna is revived by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By this practice of chanting and hearing, the sound vibration of the Supreme Lord, one's ear, tongue, and mind are engaged. This mystic meditation is very easy to practice, and it helps one attain the Supreme Lord. Purusham means enjoyer. Although living entities belong to the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord, they are in material contamination. They think themselves enjoyers, but they are not the supreme enjoyer. Here it is clearly stated that the supreme enjoyer is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his different manifestations and plenary expansions as Narayana, Vasudeva, etc. The devotee can constantly think of the object of worship, the Supreme Lord, in any of his forms, Narayana, Krishna, Rama, etc., by chanting Hare Krishna. This practice will purify him, and at the end of his life, due to his constant chanting, he will be transferred to the kingdom of God. Yoga practice is meditation on the Supersoul within, Similarly, by chanting Hare Krishna, one fixes his mind always on the Supreme Lord. The mind is fickle, and therefore it is necessary to engage the mind by force to think of Krishna. One example often given is that of the caterpillar that thinks of becoming a butterfly and so is transformed into a butterfly in the same life. Similarly, if we constantly think of Krishna, it is certain that at the end of our lives we shall have the same bodily constitution as Krishna. Satchitananda Vigraha. So you see, the idea of becoming free from the cycle of birth and death and going back to Godhead where everything is eternal and infinite, people don't believe it. Well, because they never read Bhagavad Gita, or if they read it, they think this is all fairy tales. The only thing that's real is cryonics. That's real. I'll get frozen, and then they'll unfreeze me in the future, and I'll live forever. That's a bunch of nonsense, see? And the real thing they don't believe, and the nonsense they believe. And Krishna says, Sarva bhutani konteya pakritim yanti mamikam kalpashaye punastani kalpado visrajam yaham. 9th chapter 7th verse. O son of Kunti, at the end of the millennium, all material manifestations enter into my nature. And at the beginning of another millennium, by my potency, I create them again. So, why should we remain in this vicious cycle of birth and death and rebirth and death and so forth, when there's an easy way to get out of it? Simply chant Hare Krishna. Take prasadam, dance, sing, and regularly associate with devotees, do deity worship, and go out on sankirtan. This is real life. This is a life of eternity and bliss and knowledge. So we'll talk some more about this tomorrow. Are there any questions anyone wants to ask? Okay, no question. Yes, sir. Yes. No. Well, Mahavishnu is eternal, right? Well, okay. That's why I read the previous verse. If you go back to verse 8:7 says, I'm sorry. Yeah, 8:7. Okay, so it says, okay, let's look at 8:6 in the purport. It says, the process of changing one's nature at the critical moment of death is here explained. Okay. A person who at the end of his life quits his body, thinking of Krishna, attains the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. But it is not true that a person who thinks of something other than Krishna attains the same transcendental state. This is a point we should note very carefully. Okay, now see, he's talking about nature, right? This transcendental nature. But in the purport to text 7, he says that by chanting Krishna's names, one will be transferred to the supreme planet Krishna Loka without a doubt. So that shows what he's talking about when he says transcendental nature. He's talking about the supreme planet Krishna Loka. You got it? So if you're absorbed into Mahavishnu, you're absorbed also into transcendental nature, but there you're in a deep sleep. What is it? Susupti. Huh? Yeah. So you go into a state of deep sleep. You're still alive. Just like when you go to sleep, you're still alive, right? But you sleep for, until Mahavishnu breathes again. Okay. So when he's talking about transcendental nature, see, he mentions that many times in this eighth chapter also. Yeah, in the verse number 5, he said, in this verse, the importance of Krishna consciousness is stressed. Anyone who quits his body in Krishna consciousness is at once transferred to the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. So when you get to text number 7 in the purport, you understand what he means by transcendental nature. It says, by chanting Krishna's names, one will be transferred to the supreme planet Krishna Loka without a doubt. That's what he means. Okay? Yeah, I used to be confused about that. Yeah. Yes. Or, if you're really good, you go back to Krishna Loka. Haribo. Oh, glory to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Haribo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.